Truth Matters, an interactive program of practical Catholic evangelization.
What does the Bible have to say about that?
Where can I find that in the Catechism?
Truth Matters, with your host, Teresa Carpinelli, and Living Bread Radio staff apologists, Pat Blind and Mark Hughes.
What do the Church Fathers have to say?
How can I explain that to my friends?
Truth Matters. And now, here's Teresa Carpinelli.
Hi, welcome to Truth Matters, a show of Catholic evangelization and apologetics. This is show number 344. So if you access our website at livingbreadradio.com and check out the Truth Matters tab and look at show number 344, you can download that in MP3 format and listen to it at your convenience. And also there might be some Bible verses, catechism references, church father references, anything that Mark and Pat may, you know, bring up in the course of the show. So check us out, and we're going to continue talking about Matthew's gospel, chapter 16, verse 18, specifically, where Christ gave Peter the keys, called him the rock. And we saw, we had talked before about some parallelisms going on here, where Christ said, Peter said, you are Christ. Christ said, you are rock, and called him the son of Jonah, even though Peter is not the son of Jonah. So
exactly, right. And before we get into that a little bit more and further unpack Matthew 16, I wanted to mention a couple of books that our listeners can use as a resource. And there's several really great ones out there. Three that come to mind that I use a lot are one is called Jesus, Peter, and the Keys. It has three authors. I know one is Deacon Hess. I don't remember who the other two authors are. Yeah. It's a triple author. But that's it's a kind of used in a question and answer format. It gives a lot of footnotes, copious footnotes from church fathers, from contemporary Catholic and Protestant scholars.
Does Pat Madrid have anything to do with that one?
I don't think he does. Oh, okay. No, it's I want to say
he's the one who did the papal
Pope Fiction.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's I've read some of that. I don't have that book, and I should, but that's it's an excellent book too, Pope Fiction by Patrick Madrid. The other one that I use a lot, and this overlaps a bit with Jesus, Peter, and the Keys, is Upon This Rock by Steve Ray.
That's an excellent
book. This is an excellent book. Again, the footnotes are make the book.
You
exactly. Know, some of these footnotes, and they just give citation upon citation of early church fathers and Protestant scholars and Catholic scholars as well. And it's really a nice, great reference. Another book that I like quite a bit is called Unabridged Christianity. This is by Father Mario P. Romero. It's not only about the papacy, but it's about all Catholic apologetics. It's reference to the Catechism. The book was actually written when the idea for the book was actually written when Father Romero was in a checkout line, and the clerk asked him his name, and he said Father Romero, and she says, "Well, don't you Catholics know that, you know, the Bible says in Matthew 23, call no man father."
Oh, right.
And that gave him the impetus to write the book. So, but it covers everything from salvation, purgatory, Pope, purgatory, Mary, the whole bit. So it's really well referenced, and it's a nice summary, and I use it a lot. So those are three books, Jesus, Peter, and the Keys, Upon This Rock, and Unabridged Christianity, that I like to use. And within these books as well, they cite many other texts from other scholars that you can look up at your convenience as well. So,
okay, Upon This Rock by Stanley Yockey, too.
Upon This Rock?
Yeah, by Stanley Yockey, yes.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that one. But so we're in Matthew 16, I take it here.
Okay.
And we're talking really about, we had mentioned just a quick background here, but Pat mentioned in the previous show, and I had mentioned also that Jesus and the apostles were at this place called Caesarea Philippi, where a massive rock was. He's talking about the kingdom, who the men say that I am, and Peter, by divine revelation, by the way, not of flesh and blood, but by divine revelation, is given the answer to the question, so to speak, that you know, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven.
Right. And I think in a way two things are going on here. Not only is Peter receiving divine revelation to give him the answer, but he's also giving an infallible answer.
It's right. And that, so. The two are two sides of the same coin,
exactly.
Right? He's giving an infallible statement.
Right. Not all the Pope's infallible statements are a part of divine revelation.
Exactly.
So there is that distinction.
Right.
But he's getting both divine revelation and making an infallible statement.
Right. And so a lot of the backdrop to this, we're later on in the verse in Matthew 16:18-19, Christ quotes that talking about binding and loosing keys to the kingdom of heaven. We've mentioned before in other shows that this Jesus was paraphrasing Isaiah 22 in the context of the Davidic kingdom that was currently in succession. David and Solomon had been dead. The successors, the Davidic kings in the line of David, all these Davidic kings were Christ's. Or Messiah, small c, small
anointed.
M,
anointed
ones, and that's what the term means.
Right.
Christ was not Jesus' last name. It was
okay.
A title.
Okay.
And sometimes I think we lose track of that or lose sight of that. And so...
So in Isaiah 22, the current Davidic king is...
Hezekiah.
Is appointing a new prime minister.
Is appointing... Right, there's a bad prime minister, a wicked one. His name is Shebna.
Okay.
And... And he's going to be replaced by another prime minister called Eliakim. Is that what you said?
Eliakim.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And he's going to give him he's going to be a peg in a sure spot. The authority of binding and loosing. He's going to be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem.
A popa, a pop,
you know, exactly,
papa.
A father. He's going to be, a place of honor. He's going to be given a robe, a sash. And the key to the house of David, which is key here, pardon the pun. But and this is what Christ is alluding to, because he is a true Messiah, the fulfillment of all the Messiahs or Christs in the line of David, and is now establishing this eternal kingdom that was promised to last forever in 2 Samuel chapter 7, and the kingdom is no longer earthly. And national or international, the nation of Israel would have been national. The kingdom on earth, the Davidic kingdom, would have been international. But now it's eternal and, in a sense, international, but worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
And because the ultimate end of all of this, the ultimate telos, as they say, the end, is heaven. And so the ultimate fulfillment of the kingdom will be in heaven at one point, but we're not... quite there yet. We're still in certain stages of that kingdom until its ultimate fulfillment, which will be at the end of time at the second coming. So until then, we have an earthly kingdom here found a divinely established kingdom on earth, namely the church, and that becomes the Roman Catholic Church, which means international.
Okay.
So
one question,
real
quick.
Please.
I know when people when we say that Peter was given the keys, or Christ gave Peter the keys, one of the objections that our separated brethren often bring up is Revelation 3:7,
right.
Where
yes.
Christ Himself says the Holy One is the Holy One, the True One wields David's key. So
right.
They say, well, no, here Christ has the key. So how do we
right.
respond to that?
That actually proves the Catholic point, because the king of the kingdom was the true owner of the key,
right.
Or keys.
Mm-hmm.
In the king's absence, the prime minister was given the keys to act in authority of the king.
Okay.
And so exercised authority as far as, defense, education, right. Commerce, whatever it is.
But they were still the king's keys.
They were still the king's
keys.
So
in a sense, he has the keys precisely because Christ has the keys.
Right.
Peter has the keys because Christ has the keys.
Exactly right. And that actually proves the Catholic point,
mm-hmm.
because we don't see the church as the ultimate fulfillment. It's in transition to the heavenly kingdom, which will ultimately be at the end of time.
That's why the Pope called it the Pilgrim Church.
Right, right, exactly. So, and we are a pilgrim church, and
mm-hmm.
this gets into some Exodus imagery. But we are in a new Exodus right now through the Eucharist, Christ being the Passover Lamb, leading
right.
a new Exodus.
Right, the Eucharist being the manna,
the Lamb of God that had to be eaten. Going into the promised land, which in a sense would be heaven,
mm-hmm.
in the New Testament fulfillment, but in the Old Testament it was a type of heaven, leaving Egypt, sin, through the by means of the Passover, wandering in the desert for 40 years and being tested as we are being tested now,
right,
ultimately to the promised land, which would be Jerusalem. But what is the kingdom called?
The New Jerusalem,
or the heavenly Jerusalem,
yeah.
Right.
Excellent.
So you have to look at, it's amazing when you really start looking at this stuff. You just kind of,
it all fits.
Yeah. So I know we just have a few minutes left here, but we had mentioned before that, Pat mentioned that in the Greek here, Petros and Petra are the Greek words, but we have to understand that the language of the day, almost everyone agrees that Christ was speaking Aramaic.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that he was speaking Aramaic by the words, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah." Bar-Jonah is Aramaic for son of the dove. Bar meaning son, and Jonah meaning the word dove.
And Christ had previously referred to himself as a new Jonah. And he said he would give the sign of Jonah.
Exactly.
So in a sense, he's saying, you are Peter, you are the son. Peter said, you're the son of God to Christ.
Right.
And now Christ says, you are the son of Jonah.
Which could be translated son of the Holy Spirit,
exactly,
in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And this authority of binding and loosing, which would be legislative and judicial acts that were given to the Davidic king. And I'll let Pat take over here and further unpack this.
Well, real quick, Pat, I just had a question because we talked a little bit about the fact that our separated brethren often say, well, Peter isn't the rock. It's Peter's confession of faith upon which Christ built the church. But don't we normally say something? I normally say that even though some of the fathers referred to Peter's confession,
Well, we wouldn't deny that, and even St. Augustine,
exactly.
They usually like to quote St. Augustine, and you could even quote Pat Blind. I've said it is Peter's
right,
confession
exactly.
also.
But you can't separate a man from his faith.
Yeah, he's they basically think he's contrasting Peter, this little stone,
uh-huh,
from Christ, this massive rock.
Right.
And you can't really do that either. I mean, what would be the primary reason why would a Catholic try to deny that it is Peter's faith? I mean,
right,
this is precisely what initiated this. Because of
exactly.
Peter's faith, he's the one who proclaimed to the world that Jesus is the Son of God.
And
otherwise, we wouldn't know.
And when Augustine said this, he was talking about
that he represents all the faithful, the church.
Exactly.
Okay. So, and we would wholeheartedly agree with this. The church would give a hearty amen to this.
Okay.
But we would say that this is not the primary context. And also, I want to quote one other thing also to point out that this was written originally in Aramaic, so he's not saying Petros, Petra. As a matter of fact, that St. Thomas also, he claims that he had a copy of the Aramaic that he helped correct some mistakes from the copies of the Greek.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much. That was very, very helpful. This is Teresa Carpinelli. Thank you so much for listening. Show number 344. Check us out on the web. Thanks.
This has been Truth Matters. For an audio archive of this program, as well as notes and references in document format, log on to livingbreadradio.com. Click on Truth Matters and find the link to the show number that was referenced during the show. If you have a question you'd like answered on the show, email us at truthmatters@livingbreadradio.com. Truth Matters is a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. Join us each weekday for more Truth Matters.